Welcome to Beyond the Signal, the podcast that takes you past buzzwords and into the heart of cybersecurity's emerging trends and seasoned topics. I'm your host, Katie McDonald from Gradient Cyber, and today we're asking the question, is the autonomous SOC the stuff of science fiction, or could it be a reality by 2030?
Thank you, Neil, for joining us today. So glad to have you.
Well, it's great to be here, Katie. Thank you.
When ChatGPT came onto the scene in November of 2022, it felt like the world hit fast forward on AI adoption. But AI has been part of cybersecurity for a while now. Can you walk us through how it's evolved over time and give us some context?
Sure. Well, let me start by saying that my general fear with any podcast that talks about AI is it's not going to age very well because things are changing so quickly. But I'll do my best to share things the way I see it, and that's based on what I know today or what I understand today. And obviously that could all change with the very next set of foundational model releases. So caveat. But in general, I think there's some pretty well-defined time periods of AI progression that date back to the early 2000s with respect to cyber. First would be, let's call it pre-2010, where we saw early automation with rule-based systems. In that time frame, we saw things like automation of repetitive tasks and rule-based systems that could flag things like anomalies. That was heavily used for log management and compliance monitoring in the world of SIEMs, for example. Then in 2010 to 2016, there was a much bigger push into machine learning for threat detection. So we saw machine learning algorithms that could identify patterns and anomalies that were deviations from the norm. That was heavily used with malware detection, trying to identify zero days, polymorphic threats, using statistical models and sort of basic neural networks. In the very recent past, which we can kind of define as 2017 to 2021, we started to see a lot more deep learning and behavioral analysis. So this was using more complex neural networks to analyze behavior and more sophisticated threats like APTs, advanced persistent threats. We saw a lot of user and entity behavior analytics, UEBA as we acronym it, which could analyze deviations in user behavior to identify things like insider threats or compromised accounts. From 2022 to now, there's been a lot more sort of predictive analytic focus. So shifting from pure detection to prediction, where we're using AI to forecast threats before they necessarily manifest into an attack. And you're doing that by looking at trends and evolving attack methods. So there has to be a fair amount of threat intel infused into that process. And then if you think about, well, here it is 2025 now, since we're the beginning of the year. If we try to put a five-year outlook on it, I believe we're moving more towards the advent of fully autonomous SOCs. And this is where we'll see AI do things like self-learning and the ability to adapt without human intervention. So we can see things like machine learning that ingests new data and adjusts to tactics in real time. We can see a much more plausible, dynamic, zero-trust security environment. So that's where I think folks believe we're headed in the next few years.
You presented the idea of an autonomous SOC to a lot of people who work in IT security last year. How did they react to that? Were they optimistic about the idea, or were most of them skeptical about something like that becoming a reality by 2030?
Well, it was very interesting. So yeah, I did have the opportunity to share this story with about 20 audiences, each of which ranged from maybe 100 to 200 participants, counting both physical and virtual. So that's a few thousand people that heard this story throughout the course of 2024. There's two key things that I would say are markers. The first is I asked a simple question at both the front and back end of each of those presentations. The question was, do you believe we could have an autonomous SOC by the end of 2030? What was interesting was at the beginning of the presentation, in most cases, the entry poll result would be maybe 5 or 10% of the audience. But the exit poll was typically around 50%. Not that I'm any great educator or prognosticator of the future, but certainly I think I was able to share some things that caused people to become a little more bullish on average. Now, the second thing was every one of those speaking slots had a survey. Believe me when I tell you, I was able to get a lot of very direct feedback. But in general, I would say 95% or so was pretty spirited fascination around the topic at large. And I believe minimally, a lot of those people appreciated that I didn't hit them with a vendor sales pitch, that I was just there to give them a considered perspective. On the whole, I'd say most people had their eyes opened a bit. You know, these were IT security savvy people, so they weren't foreign to the discussion or the potential, but maybe don't follow it as closely as I might or others. But I think now a high percentage of those audiences will go off and follow this movement more closely. And then, of course, you have the skeptics who are like, this is crazy talk. You don't know what you're saying. So,
for those of us who are undecided if we're the ones that are going to follow closely or we're going to be your skeptics, paint the picture for us. What would a fully autonomous SOC look like? What are the capabilities that would set it apart from how a SOC looks today?
If you think about how a SOC looks today, a security operations center, it's kind of a war room type setting. There will be some large screens, perhaps, with major telemetry indicators to watch. And then there's a room full of people who each are talented security analysts at different skill levels. They have their own cubicle slash office setup. They've got screens. They're running scripts. They're doing what they do to run down alerts and hunt for threats and that kind of thing. They also take coffee breaks and vacations, and they get sick, and they have different ways of solving problems that are not always streamlined. So if you think about, well, what would the SOC of tomorrow look like if we had autonomous capabilities through AI? It would look different physically, first of all. You would have racks and racks of CPUs and GPUs and now newer transaction processing units, TPUs. There would, of course, be lots and lots of power and cooling. Technically speaking, you don't need cubicles with humans who take coffee breaks. Certainly don't need screens for their eyeballs. So at the physical level, they look different. And then at the logical level, you're starting to think about a world where any data source can be consumed. It can be instantly normalized for machine learning processing and large language model interaction with AI agents. The core data would be intelligently reduced to its essence, and that's for cost-optimized storage, but you would have no loss of forensic value by reducing that data set. Analytics would be machine-produced in real time at super low cost. Response and remediation actions would be instantly packaged and pushed to action. There'd be no risk, irrefutable attestation. If we have all that, at the end of the day, mean time to detect and mean time to respond would see dramatic drops. And those are the real measuring sticks. So that's kind of a visionary expression of what an autonomous SOC would look like at the physical and logical level.
Are we even close to what you just described, or is this more of a sci-fi dream than a real-world possibility?
Well, I would say the building blocks for each of those requirements that we just walked through are coming together pretty quickly. So we have the ability to start tackling those requirements. You just look at the industry, there are incumbent vendors like ourselves, as well as a number of new startups. And we're all racing to some version of what I just described. Now, startups have an advantage. They don't face innovator's dilemma. They don't have to worry about keeping the prior world moving along, generating revenue while they build this new thing. Incumbents have real customers that startups don't have. So they each have their vantage point and their position of strength in this race. All of those technical challenges are not fully ironed out by any stretch. But if you look at the rate of change, just in the last few years, it would be hard to bet against this over a 5 to 10 year time horizon, in my opinion, if not sooner. Having said that, there are still blockers. There are core technology advancements needed in sort of macro AI arenas, areas like multimodal machine learning, memory personalization, of course, autonomous agents, chain of thought planning, advanced reasoning and planning, and infinite memory. There's lots of core work being done on this in the very sort of serious think tank arenas, Silicon Valley and other places around the world. So those are all advancements that are needed to get us towards super intelligence and stronger capabilities than we have today. They're not here yet. Having said that, a lot of what you need to sort of strip away the mind-numbing repetitive work that exists in a SOC right now can be addressed with the current state of machine learning, neural networking, and LLMs. So there's every reason to be bullish, even though it's not 100% here in early 2025.
For people working in SOCs now, the idea of an autonomous SOC has to feel both exciting and a little terrifying, kind of like a double-edged sword. What would this mean for their jobs? Are we talking about SOC teams packing it up and hoping universal basic income saves the day?
Well, that's a loaded question for any of us, not just folks who work in a SOC. If you're kind of in the IT space at large, maybe any vocation, you should be thinking about what does the world look like if what we're describing here could come to bear. But I think it starts with full autonomy, and let's use a corollary for something that people commonly know or think about, which is ubiquitous driverless vehicles. I mean, we see driverless vehicles, certainly in the NFL cities around the U.S. and other parts of the world, they're not ubiquitous. They're the occasional vehicle, you know, the Waymos and so forth. So ubiquitous driverless vehicles is aspirational and will be for years to come. And by the same token, a fully autonomous SOC is aspirational and will be for years to come. But even if we could get there, even if we could have true autonomy the way I described it, where there's kind of no humans in the loop, that's probably a mistake, because you don't really want to think of the world as one where the good guys are fighting the fight with machines only, and the bad guys are using machines and human creativity. The real way to think about it is, if you work in a SOC, to not be fearful about your career viability. But I would say, begin thinking about how you augment your already strong network and cybersecurity knowledge with a big dose of prompt engineering and data science understanding. I think the nature of the work changes because of the advent of AI. And that world is coming very fast, and it's one that I think has more positives than negatives. So if you think about working in a SOC and all that you have to do from a investigating just troves and troves of data, most of which is innocuous or false positives, that's just mind-numbingly soul-crunching work that no one wants to do. If you had something that would weed out all those false positives, contextualize the remaining signals, prioritize them for you, it allows you to move up stack to more interesting and higher value decision-making work. So that's sort of analogous to how could you get to being a tier 3 analyst much, much faster with AI than you could without it? The answer to that is certainly yes. You could be able to operate more like, I always forget the name of the guy, but that TV show House that was popular a few years ago, kind of a medical show. What was his name again?
Hugh Laurie.
Hugh Laurie, yeah. I love that show, but I can never remember his name. But if you think about him, a little bit of a curmudgeon, but super bright, tended to break glass, but always arrived at the correct conclusion that saved the person, and that's what made the show. Really what he did was he had the intellect and the experience and the kind of a different set of thought processes where he could ponder very strange connections between seemingly unrelated dots. And that's not dissimilar to what we do from a cybersecurity threat hunting location. If you work in a SOC, I think the pinnacle of what you're trying to do, what's most interesting for people who choose this as a vocation, is you should want to figure out the next weird thing that humans are doing that is either anomalous or suspicious or malicious. And you want to try to teach a machine how to do that for you. Now, for whatever reason, the machine isn't able to recognize that set of circumstances yet. The moment you teach it, it can, but we still need that human to sort of be the front runner who can imagine things that other humans would do that machines would not necessarily imagine because it's just super illogical. So there's high value to being freed of all the mundane work so that you can apply your brain to more interesting problems. And that's where you need to be working, because that's what the attackers are trying to do, is figure out the corner case. Where is the window or door open that no one would think about? Let me find a way to exploit that, because there's money to be had. So we want people to move up stack, and there's plenty of years of that work ahead. I don't think people should be concerned about, well, yeah, we better have UBI inside of 5 years or we're all doomed. Inside of 25, I might take a different bet.
The fact that some people are already thinking about this, and some people have got to be working on how this could play out and how they can help it play out. What signs or developments are you seeing that make you believe that an autonomous SOC could actually happen sometime soon?
There's, of course, many signals at the technology level. We touched on them earlier, and it's too much to delve into each independently in a short podcast. But I would say the one that caught my attention the most in 2024 was a website called SWE Bench. I presented this in each of the speaking slots I had the chance to in 2024. You can find this website, it's SWE Bench, it's out there. But a set of engineers set out to answer a key question. And that question was, can large language models resolve real world GitHub issues? And so what they did was they went out and grabbed about 2,300 software engineering problems off of GitHub, and they gave them to an LLM. They gave it a code base through a prompt, a description of an issue to be solved, and they tasked the AI agent with editing the code base in a way that would address the issue. So this obviously requires complex thinking. It's way beyond traditional code generation tasks, but you have to sum up a problem, figure it out, assert a way to solve that, you know, string together batches of code, test it, iterate, and keep doing that until you arrive at a conclusion that would solve that particular software problem. So what was interesting was on the website, they show the progression of how agents did against those 2,294 problems at the time. And in October of 2023, the best agents, which were using RAG and Llama or ChatGPT, were able to solve about 1% of the problems. So it didn't look very promising. But by July of 2024, just 9 months later, the best sort of AI agents were solving on the order of 43% of that problem set. So that's pretty astounding. So when you start to think about, well, what are the really tough problems in a SOC? They're the problems that good analysts have to write scripts to piece together disparate things for them. And they have to take the output of those scripts, put them into other scripts. And it's an iterative process. They're basically doing software engineering work, trying to find ways to peel back a particular attack technique and then turn that into an analytic. And now what we're seeing is AI agents can do that same work without the aid or guidance of a human. And we went from 1% to 43% with a large set of software problems, you know, again, from October 2023 to July of 2024. Put that on a plot and draw that line out, and you start to see shocking evidence that, hey, these machines are very capable. When we see greater and greater developments of LLMs and the use of AI agents, it's astounding what's possible.
1% to 43%, that's just absolutely wild. With all of these advancements and everything going on, what excites you the most about where AI is headed in cybersecurity? And more importantly, how should organizations start prepping now for what's coming?
So I love the technology. I love the intersection myself of cybersecurity, AI, and of course the world of marketing, which has its own set of AI advancements, which are changing our world for the better, but rapidly. But if you just step back and look at this from a business point of view, just consider our industry. Across the globe, I mean, Gartner numbers, other analyst numbers, we're spending about $200 billion a year trying to protect enterprises and businesses and organizations of all shapes and sizes from cyber attack. So $200 billion spent to prevent. And the cybercrime problem, according to Cyber Ventures, they're projecting that it's a $10.5 trillion problem in 2025. That's a 50x multiple. That's just bad math. Second factoid, for a decade now, we've been down 3 million jobs in this industry. And that number hasn't changed much in 10 years. So we still need a true force multiplier if we're going to have any chance of tapering what the bad guys are doing. AI can move the needle here in a big way. However, it remains unlikely that most organizations could do this on their own. The cost, the complexity, the resourcing requirements, they're just too high for the foreseeable future, especially when you get down in mid-market where we operate. It's just a way formidable task for people to think, oh, great, you know, there's new AI tooling here. I can turn this on and my cybersecurity problems are taken care of. So I think the way IT security teams should be thinking about this and the things they should be looking at hard over the next little while are, first of all, for your organization, what does an ideal security tech stack look like? If you had no barriers, what would you deploy to guard yourself in terms of network threat detection, endpoint detection response, you know, being able to look at user behavior, looking at cloud properties? What are all the things that you need to have in place? The second question is, what is your security risk tolerance? You can't spend infinitely, so you have to decide where you're willing to take risk and where you're not willing to take risk. Once you know those things, think about, well, what service provider out there in the world of managed detection and response or managed security service providers, who out there could consume my tech stack data, insert that into an evergreen AI platform that allows them to cost effectively turnkey things like threat detection and response, or giving their in-house staff the ability to leverage that type of platform to do their own threat detection response as AI technology makes it easier and easier to wield the machine with, you know, simple natural language interactions. AI has been around for decades. We know that. We've talked about it. But the advent of OpenAI, Google, Anthropic, Meta, and other advances with LLMs has now made it eminently usable by anyone. we have to recognize that that means the bad guys are going to be using it for certain. And we either have to equip every organization to use the same tool chain to fight against them, or have those organizations go to a service provider that can do that on their behalf. And the question is, well, if you're going to go to that service provider, you need to have that right tech stack in place first, so that there's real data for them to operate from and an understanding of what your security risk tolerance and preferences are, so that they can dial in the right kind of threat detection model for you. And last but not least, every organization has to begin strongly thinking about, what does this mean from a privacy or regulatory or compliance perspective? But that's a big discussion and probably worth a whole separate podcast, too much to get into here. So those are the kinds of things I think organizations have to be considering now. At the end of the day, it still comes down to one simple thing. You're not going to prevent the bad guys from getting in. You can only detect them and respond to them faster and more accurately. AI is going to help this in a big way. A lot of advancements are coming. We may see strong levels of autonomy within a SOC. I don't think the humans go away. I think humans move up stack, the ones that are capable. And that's kind of what we see on the near-term horizon. But it's going to be a fascinating ride. If you look at what's happened in the last 2 years, just since, again, the LLM movement that's made this available for anyone to play this game, it's incredible where we'll be 5 years from now.
I could have used ChatGPT back in college and could have probably used a better version of it when I started trying to make images out of it, and the hands had 12 fingers. So, or there was a half a car coming out of a pool. So I completely get it. I think that this is really interesting. And looking at the podcast now, if we did this podcast 6 months from now, the content would be vastly different from just now.
We might look back and say, hey, rip down that podcast. It's an absolute joke what we were talking about. It could change that fast.
Actually, maybe we'll just make this a series of how wrong were we 6 months ago and how much different is it now? So
thank you. That might be entertaining, yes.
Thank you, Neil, for joining us. I really appreciate you coming in and sharing these insights with us. And I guess I'll see you in 6 months. Just kidding. We work together.
Awesome. Thanks, Katie.
And that's a wrap for this episode of Beyond the Signal. We've tackled the big question. Will AI-driven, fully autonomous SOCs be here by 2030? Or is that just wishful thinking? Big thanks to Neil Hartzell for sharing his insights and predictions. It's safe to say we're in for an exciting decade ahead. If you enjoyed today's conversation, make sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review. And hey, if you're curious about how Gradient Cyber is shaping the future of SOCs today, visit us at gradientcyber.com. Until next time, keep your signals clear and your cybersecurity sharper. This is Katie McDonald signing off from Beyond the Signal.